The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, this week in our series on disinformation, we're talking about Elon Musk and his role in the US election, the Russian interference in Moldova and elsewhere, and all the others in the disinformation game around the world. We're joined by David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we played a clip during the week of Elon Musk giving away the first $1 million to people who signed up to his thing in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and this is on top of the $75 million he's already donated to Trump. Now, as the news is breaking this morning, there's a lot of legal questions over whether it's all right to effectively bribe voters. Is that a form of vote buying? But this is, you know, we're through the looking glass here in 2024.
I mean, it's not just the million bucks. He was paying 47 for a signature, and that went up to 100 bucks per signature. So you get in the draw. You don't have to buy a ticket. You get money for signing.
You're being well compensated for it. So apart from the financial contributions that Musk, who declared himself Dark MAGA recently, in a very embarrassing thing where he jumped like a small child, it's worth catching the footage if you lose your breakfast. But one of the things about that is, on top of this, he's also been propagating disinformation about the elections. So he has claimed on his own social media platform that there are more registered voters in Michigan, which is a swing state, than there are people living there. And he's claiming this is a Democratic plot. Now, the way it works is actually that's not the case. There is 7.2 million registered voters there. But the way it works in Michigan, under federal and state law, is inactive voters, people who have died or moved state, have 4 years before they're removed from the register.
Okay.
And this is standard federal law. He's been corrected several times for this, including by Jocelyn Benson, who's the current state secretary for Michigan, who has pointed out to him that, no, this is, you are misunderstanding how the figures work. This is the entire electoral roll of all potentially eligible voters, and this is how we do it. And that's how it's done on a federal level. He has doubled down on that despite being corrected and insisted this is a Democratic plot to steal votes, which the Republican National Party have amplified.
So this is the preparation in the event of Trump losing. This is the preparation for some sort of legal challenge or maybe even violent dissent.
And that's definitely one of the advantages to it for him. The other thing is, if it makes people angry enough, he can then encourage his Republican base that they need to come out in greater numbers because their rights are being threatened. So this narrative of creating a panic is very important. But this is not the first time Musk has spread election disinformation. He's been doing this for quite some time. And since he has bought Twitter, or the platform formerly known as Twitter, X, he has amplified this to a huge degree. Where before he was actually kind of liberal in his causes, or projected himself as quite liberal, he's very much gone into the orbit of a hard right and very much behind Trump, and is quite willing to lie for him. But there's a reason for that. When people spread disinformation, it's also to serve a different purpose. That is, it's aimed to create disgust or anger or distraction to do something. In his case, he's been promised a role by Trump in the new administration as a Secretary of State for Efficiency, these made-up titles he's given himself. And that basically means that he's in disputes with the FAA and the FCC over his SpaceX things and also his broadcasting. He really wants to get away from federal he does not want to be regulated at a federal level. Okay. And therefore, he's hoping that he can leverage this.
So we don't know really whether he likes Donald Trump. It seemed apparent when he was gallivanting on the stage with Trump. Trump was not impressed.
According to Anthony Scaramucci on The Rest is Politics, they absolutely loathe each other. But again, a lot of, and you're seeing this with a lot of Silicon Valley tech people, Peter Thiel, people like that, are getting behind Trump because they don't like the demon of regulation. They want to be able to operate without any respect for law and basically do what they want to create their monopolies and keep them going.
But the anomaly here is that Trump was attacking EVs for much of the campaign.
Yes.
The idea, you know, you got to go back to the old gasoline. We're going to drill, drill, drill was his mantra. We're going to get all those petrochemicals out of the ground and feed the North American automobile appetite with petrol and diesel. And then Elon Musk comes along and flashes the checkbook. And suddenly he's an enthusiast for EVs,
true,
at least for Teslas.
We have to remember that Trump is mercutial in his habits. He will change them. He has no consistency or principles, so he can flip-flop. They think he's easier to control, and they think that he will allow them run unfettered, and that's really what they want. So that's why they're happy to spread disinformation, particularly Musk.
Now, how does Musk have the time to do all this? He's running, you know, SpaceX. He is in control of Twitter and spending time, obviously, retweeting and so on. And then he's got the Tesla empire to run. And it's doing well, according to the news I heard this morning, that the profit per car has gone up dramatically. And it's much higher per car than in the classic auto industry.
Absolutely. And look, Musk himself is not, you know, he projects an image of him as a very strong worker. But people in both SpaceX and Tesla say when he shows up in their offices, he actually damages productivity. There's a lot of reports that have come out of people working there. He shows up and does presenteeism where he's like, I'm going to work 120 hours. And actually, there's very clever engineers working for both Tesla and SpaceX who can get the job done without Musk's interference.
Mind you, that's a good manager. Delegate. Get the best people to do the
absolutely,
job.
Absolutely. That is a good management style. He doesn't always do that if you look at the track record of how he's managed these companies. But certainly his real, he wants regulation to be reduced on him, and that's probably
now during the week we were hearing from Moldova, where the presidential race is going to a runoff, and the pro-EU presidential candidate might have a job on her hands to try and remain in office.
Absolutely. They had a referendum just last week, and it passed with a pro-EU position by the narrowest of margins. I think it was 50.39% in favour, a difference of 8,000 votes. It's a country of 2.6 million people. But what we're seeing, and the presidential election is still to come, but what we're seeing, which is really fascinating, is that Russia have a huge vested interest in the outcome of Moldovan politics. So it has been shown that they have spent over $100 million trying to influence a country of 2.6 million people. I think it's over 113,000 people have got direct payoffs from Russia that the security forces have found so far. That's roughly 5% of the country have received a cash payoff
for their vote.
So this is showing you what Russia is really using its money to do. It does not want that country, which it considers in its orbit, to suddenly align with European values and the system there, or become a member of the EU in the long run. So they're willing to throw a huge amount of resources for a relatively small country to do this. And that's just the direct financial influence. They're also running massive disinformation campaigns, and they're backing the rival in the presidential race. So they're backing the pro-Russian position as much as they can. And this is a very common Russian position, where they try to fund opposition parties who have anti-EU sentiment, or even in countries that are relatively pro-EU, they will often fund candidates who take the opposite tact.
Now, what's going on in Canada?
So Justin Trudeau was up in Canada talking to the State Commission on Misinformation and Foreign Election Interference last Wednesday. And he was speaking under parliamentary privilege, where he was talking about what the security forces in Canada have been reporting, but also what they know. And under parliamentary privilege, like here, you can speak freer. He identified Tucker Carlson and Jordan Peterson as Russian assets or Russian-aligned assets. And he also pointed out the current work of the security services. They've identified that Russian disinformation is a big factor inside Canada, but a bigger direct influence is Chinese disinformation. They reckon that Chinese forces are more likely to try and manipulate elections there, followed by Russia, India, Pakistan and Iran.
Now, going back to Tucker Carlson, I saw bits of the interview he did with Putin.
Oh, good Lord, yes.
Talk about a softball.
And deliberately. So at the very beginning, when Carlson was originally employed by Fox, and when you are bad enough to get fired by Fox, that's quite saying something. But at the beginning of the Ukrainian war, he was very, very pro-Russia. He was actually parroting Kremlin talking points. I remember writing about him for Byline Times, that he was so egregious in how he did it. So he has been aligned with the Kremlin narrative for quite some time. When he did his recent softball interview with Putin, and this is the first Western media figure to go, he basically hung out there and allowed Putin to speak without any real challenge for a long time. And this is almost certainly because he is essentially a Russian state employee by proxy at this stage.
So he's actually, there's money changing hands.
Absolutely. I mean, he doesn't do this for free. Even though he's been let go from Fox, he still has quite a large online empire, and there is money coming in there. So that Trudeau could stand up in front of the Canadian Parliament and make that statement.
Well, tell us about the other character then, Jordan Peterson.
Jordan Peterson is a Canadian psychologist who got very big during the culture wars for opposing trans rights, and then also sold a self-help book, 12 Rules for Life. It's a dirge. I really hate. I've had the misfortune of reading it because I had to read it for a review, but it's very, very popular. He's very popular with young men, particularly young men who feel disenfranchised. By the way, if you ever read the book, it's full of platitudes and half-baked truisms. It's not interesting, but then again, a lot of self-help books are. But it was hugely popular. And because he's very anti-climate, he doesn't believe in climate change, he's very anti-female rights, or anti-gay rights to an extent. He believes that Western society is under attack. So he's selling a narrative to people. He also is very favourable to a lot of Russian narratives. And because he's got that huge counterculture popularity, particularly with young disenfranchised men, he has been approached as well on some level, according to Trudeau's statement in front of the
Made under
Parliament.
Privilege.
Yeah, made under privilege. And that's the caveat here, that Peterson's been identified as a Russian state asset or someone who's benefited in that regard as
now,
well.
You once had a run-in with Jordan Peterson, is that right?
I did. Inadvertently, I wrote some much milder criticism than I just made there of him. And he found me on Twitter. I went after my H-index. Now, this is a measure of academic output. He basically said, I have a much better H-index than you. And then he also went over my book sales. He's like, oh, my book sells much more than yours. It was very petty. And I was bemused by it. But for weeks afterwards, I had thousands of his very toxic followers just flooding my mentions. So this is why another reason I don't bother with social media that much anymore in that regard. But obviously, very thin skin.
Yeah. And these postings about you, looking at your work,
I'm glad he was reading my work. I'll give him that. He did say, he goes, yeah, he says something along the lines of, you're smart, just as smart, not as smart as you think you are. And to be fair, my mother's been saying that to me for years, so that's probably true.
All right, David, thank you very much for joining us. David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.